It's the Daily Talk Show, Tommy.
42.
Episode 42. It is Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday.
Mate, I've lost the days. They're all... you know what fucked us? The public holiday on the Monday here in Australia, in Melbourne. It wasn't across Australia. I don't even know. The thing, when you have a business, the public holidays go out the window.
Mate, I don't even bloody get weekends. Woof, woof.
No.
Why
was I a dog?
Woof, woof. No, it's just something I do.
Yeah, but where'd you get that from?
I think it's just blokey. Like, when I feel like you're saying something, it could be seen as a bit masculine.
No, but it's quite cute little puppy. Woof, woof.
Woof, woof.
Ooh.
Woof, woof.
Like a...
Just very quickly, wait, Mondays or Fridays, which do you prefer in regards to a public holiday?
Friday.
Okay,
Because Thursday's still the week, so it's like, you have a short week leading into it, and then Friday's a good day to have off.
Yeah.
And so people are just ready to launch, and it's fun.
I guess it makes sense. Talking about the whole masculinity thing, I was wondering...
Can I borrow some of your chest hair? Yes, you can, Josh.
Mate, I've got my own. I was hearing a guy having a conversation with someone the other day, and it made me uncomfortable. He was talking about his wife being at home, and he's saying, she understands the hours I'm doing because I bring home the bacon, and he's like, fucking nappies, aren't free.
Yeah.
Because he's got a kid. And I was thinking to myself, I was slightly wincing about the interaction. There was, why do you think I was having a reaction? What was I reacting to?
I think it's an old school, the man putting in more effort than the woman.
Yeah.
When it's like, fuck, the effort that goes into raising a child is just as much as me at work, tapping away on my computer trying to do... client work.
Yeah. And it's this perception that, like, the only thing you need is bacon.
Bacon is nice. Money's also good.
Yeah.
Where was this?
Oh, it was just within a music industry sort of dude. I didn't want to reveal the person's name.
No, I don't mean who was it, but I was like, where was the location?
It was sort of like a backstage music sort of event.
Okay, No, I get that. I was wondering if you overheard that while we were at Krispy Kreme and Nary Warren. I thought that might have been location. I was driving here tonight and I saw this guy on the side of the road. He's waiting for a bus and I thought, fuck, he's on Punt Road. And the bus only goes up Punt Road, and I'm going up Punt Road.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, like, this split second, I was like, I could just give him a lift. I was like, he's not asking for a lift. But then I was thinking about cars and hitchhiking.
Yeah.
And I was like, I haven't spoken to you about that. Like, my inkling is you haven't hitchhiked before.
Hitchhiked?
hitchhiked before.
We've talked about accents prior to the show.
What did I say?
You can't do accent. Was that an accent?
No, I didn't. Okay. I thought I was doing some like English maybe.
Okay, great. It's still an accent, but no, we'll let that one pass.
Yeah, but it's not. We were talking about racist accents before.
Yeah.
What are the no go-to ones, racist?
Well, you can do like British ones are fine.
Yeah.
I think...
American.
As Americans, fine. But as a white person doing like an Indian accent or things like that.
Don't worry, Matt Tilley, the ex-radio host, he's got us covered. He'll do the Indian one for us.
With the gotcha calls, didn't he?
Yeah.
No, hitchhiking.
Yeah.
I've never done it. I've never been the hitchhiker. I've picked people up.
Mm.
And one of the cases, that's exact scenario that you're talking about with seeing someone at the bus stop.
Yeah.
I saw a boy that I went to school with. We grew up from... he was in kinder with me and went through high school. He had autism and he couldn't... When he was in primary school, couldn't speak, but then sort of developed some speech and all that sort of thing. Anyway, he sort of hung around the wrong crowds or things like that, easily influenced.
Mm.
But I liked him. And so I knew where he lived and I was heading that direction. He was at the bus stop and I was 19. and I said his name. I said, hey, and I opened the passenger. I reached out and opened the passenger door.
The real invite.
And because it was easier actually than trying to do the windscreen, because I had like a manual window. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I said, hey, do you want a lift? I'm going towards your house now. And he yelled out, fuck you, cunt. I'm like, no, I'll just take you to my... He's like, fuck you. And the problem was, then the bus was coming behind me and I'm in the fucking... at the bus stop with my door open. I had to drive off with my door open. And I'm like, ever since then, I'm like... I ended up fucking deleting him off Facebook. I'm like, I can't deal with having someone who at any point could just go a bit fucking... And the thing
is... That's awesome.
And the thing is that my... my mum works in the area in which he lives, like where we grew up. And she gets like, she said, like, this was a couple of years ago now. She's like, oh, he came in, was asking
looking for
that.
You. Yeah. Looking for you.
And she was just like, she felt a bit.
Do you reckon he wanted to say sorry?
Nah, he's like a bigger guy and all that sort of thing. But it was just, Mum was actually a little bit scared of him. She's like, oh, I don't know about him. Yeah. It's just, so anyway, that was
wow.
So that was my hitchhiking style story. And so the only other time I remember doing it is being Great Ocean Road. I've done that a bunch of times. And
what, picking up people?
No, I've done the Great Ocean Road, but we picked up people once when it was raining. And people had walked out, you know, like the 12 apostles, there's quite a drive from the car park and people walk out and people were stuck in the rain and we just pulled over and let them in.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Yeah.
We once were out, this nightclub in, so you didn't go through this, like there's this whole nightlife, right? So it's like all this shit that goes down when there's alcohol involved and you hope that it's not dangerous.
Yeah.
But there's like a lot of... the danger elements probably not thought about when you are intoxicated. So there is like jumping into cars and like jump, you know, getting in with people that you might not think of. I've got one story. This was before Uber.
Yeah.
Oh, this is almost two.
That was only like 3 years ago.
Yeah. So it was before.
Because we've already been criticized from Michelle for saying she's getting pissed off that I'm talking about nostalgia when I'm referring to something only a few years ago.
But that's you.
Yeah, exactly.
Nostalgia. What did I say to you the other day on a message? I was like, I'll come over and we'll talk about the old times, nostalgia, meaning yesterday. It's the hook. I get you in now. Let's talk about the old times.
Yeah, I love it.
Anyway, I got so drunk and the only time I've ever ended up like sitting somewhere and almost just being out of it. I just remember coming to and I was in a car park. I'd gone up into this building's locked off private car park and we're sitting on this wall. I just remember just taking big deep breaths. I've done a few Jager bombs.
As in like what sort of, is it like an anxious breath or I'm fucked up? Ooh, yeah.
No. So it's not anxious. It's not, I'm loving this. It's like, I need oxygen in me because I'm going to spew everywhere if I don't.
It's almost like what I do. Bree and I were laughing at a guy we're watching on a boat. They do this like mouth opening. They're trying not to vomit.
Yeah, the deep breath. If you drink, you've probably been there before. Just sucking that oxygen. And then I woke up, I sort of came to it. I wasn't asleep. I hadn't been vomiting. But I was like, fuck, what am I doing? I had this, I think I just remember thinking, oh, I'll just go up here and sort of sit down. And anyway, I came out of this car park. I was like, I've got to get fucking home. I was probably 19.
Yeah.
And I just remember I was sculling beers with this dude and a few Jager bombs. Anyway.
Who was the dude?
Brad, his name was.
Okay.
And he can really drink. He can really drink. So he drank me under the table. And so I went across the road and I was trying to hail a cab. And this guy, oh, fuck, I was thinking about pulling out an accent for this one. I can't.
Yeah, no, don't. What nationality?
No, I'll do it. I'll do one.
Fuck.
Josh is...
All right, go on.
He's anxious.
Here we go.
Okay. So this little fucking RAV4 pulls up.
Okay.
Taxi?
Okay, sure.
So it was a cutie. That was like an accent. Taxi.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, go on.
And he had a sign in his hand that said taxi drawn on a piece of cardboard. Taxi. And I got in the car. I was like, fuck this. This is fine. So I jumped in the car. He seemed a
big fucking mistake. No, what happens?
So I got in the car and I was in St Kilda, which is 12-minute drive from my house,
yeah,
of where I grew up in Brighton. And so I just remember in the car, just putting the window down, feeling a bit sick. No, I didn't spew. But I just remember getting close to home and we pulled up and I had cash. This is actually when I carry cash. I don't fucking carry cash anymore. So this guy would have been in trouble if I jumped in now. And so I got to there and he touched the dials on his dash pretending to calculate the fee. I was like, $12.50, thanks. And I gave him some cash and I got out. It was the weirdest fucking thing.
And you didn't say, mate, you're not doing it. Like, we don't need to treat this as an improv sesh.
It was bizarre and I was pissed. And he probably got the right customer to go along with his bullshit.
It's amazing. Were you like, oh, do you want to play doctors and nurses now? Which was, oh, is that what it's called? Mate. Doctors and patients.
That's a bit fucking... Kids fuck off, cunt.
That'll be the title of this episode.
Yeah. So getting into cars with strangers, I've done it a couple of other times. That was a weird one. Yeah. That was almost like hitchhiking, but I just paid for it.
What about people? Like, there's one specific friend that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
That is such a dangerous driver that I feel every time I'm in his car, I feel like I'm in a TAC ad.
Oh, no, that's not
good. And it's just like, I'll just try and avoid it now.
I think it gets to a point, an age, it's like, it's not cool to do any stupid shit anymore.
But he's not even like, it's just like a bit of a creative, reckless, a bit fucking tweaked. Yeah.
I reckon I know who this is.
And he's just, you probably would. And he's just like distracted and he's just like talking and he'll like, I don't think he didn't flip his car.
Oh,
but
no.
But he did, no, he did something pretty fucking bad where it's like, oh man, like, I think he must have crashed it or something.
Do you
something.
Know who I got in the car with?
Who?
I was at a nightclub in LA. And fuck, I've got some good stories from the nightclubs in LA. My friend in Melbourne hooked us up with this club promoter in LA. It's like, it's the best connection if you actually want to go clubbing in LA. It was like a big dog of the clubbing world. So VIP clubs you can't get into, just walking past with him.
To be a big dog, do you just need to part own these things?
Yeah, he's a part owner of one of them. And he's just, there's a massive promotional company called SBE, which own a few of the nightclubs. And he'd worked for them for years. And, you know, anyway, so my mate hooked me up with this dude and I was there by myself in LA and I went out with him. I called him. I was like, mate, what's going on?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, meet me at blah, blah, blah. And so I just caught a cab there. I was by myself and I was waiting for him out the front. And we went in and walked past the crowd. Like, it feels cool when you're with these dudes. Like, I think some of their lives are a bit sad. Some of the dudes that are living nightclubs.
Yeah.
Because for me, the traveller who's experiencing this kind of...
Yeah, you go in and out. You have this experience.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
The next day you feel shit and you don't want to ever go back.
Yeah.
But there's some kind of like cool thing when someone's got power in those situations.
We're just being able to like pop in and out of those circumstances.
And so I met a whole bunch of people through him. And then we went off to this other nightclub. And then it got to like 3 a.m. and I was like, fucking, I got to go home. I got a lift home with the dude who sung that song. Come, my lady. Come, my lady.
Oh, that's
you're my butterfly.
Sugar baby. Great.
Butterfly. Who? What was the group? It was
no
called
idea.
Butterfly. Anyway, that dude. I've got a photo of him. But he gave me a lift home. He'd been on... I was wondering why. I was like, fuck, should I go in this car? And then his mate's like, oh, he was on celebrity rehab. So he's full sober. So he's a fucking dedicated, what do you call it? Like designated driver. And yeah, that was bizarre. He was a safe driver.
I feel like we could turn this into a car themed episode. Here's another car story. when Fifi Box was pregnant and they just found out. It's so funny to think that there's a industry for this, but it's like she was having paparazzi following her when they found out. And I was the digital content producer of Fifi and Jules.
We have international listeners.
Yeah, Fifi. So Fifi and Jules, they were like a drive radio show, so sort of an FM radio show. Fifi Box was sort of a radio personality, and she was on morning, like breakfast TV and all that sort of thing, and is a friend of mine. Anyway, she was pregnant, and she'd just fucked her other car or whatever. I think she had a Beamer, but they'd given her a replacement, like four-wheel drive. And she said, Josh, I don't want them to be able to basically see that I'm leaving the building because they're out the front right now. So she's like, can you drive? And I'll lay in the back and then we'll drive around the corner. And like we can actually just drive to your house in Port Melbourne, where I was living at the time, and she'll get out.
So whose baby was it?
And so anyway, I was like, okay, yeah, I can do that. So I was like driving. It was like a big fucking car, super expensive. And as I was like leaving, I was like trying to be as like inconspicuous as possible. And went to like indicate left.
And you
like,
saw that guy that had autism. Fuck off, man!
That's your favourite line now, isn't it? I was trying to look as inconspicuous as possible.
Yeah.
As I turned left, it was like a real hot summer's day. Mm. I had turned, rather than turning on the indicator, I'd put the windscreen wipers on full. It's fucking the Euro cars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so annoying.
And it was just like, I'm sure it would have looked like you just see this sort of like fat 21-year-old in this like real expensive Beamer.
Did you see the people there waiting?
Nah, but we did. I remember when we were in Sydney and at the airport and we just get out of the car and all of a sudden they just fucking swamped. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, it is.
And funny. Even like... yeah, I've got like other friends that like where they'll just like they just hang outside their place, and even like my friend who's like the brother of someone who is like who paparazzi like follows, like he'll actually have conversations. I'm not fucking
Get into stories. I know a guy who knows another bloke that has a connection
it's a boring story anyway. No, literally like family members who actually like know the paps because you see them every day.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, oh, hey, how you going? Nah, they're not in town at the moment. It's that a weird relationship. Would you ever be a paparazzi? Would you ever do it?
I'm a creep with my camera as it is.
So is that a yes?
Nah.
After seeing Teenage Paparazzo, the film, I saw it at the Melbourne International Film Festival. I think the guy from Entourage or some shit. It's a doco.
Yeah, Adrian Grenier.
I don't know people's names.
He's the guy. He's
the green-eyed one.
Yeah, he's the main guy.
Yeah,
Adrian Grenier. Anyway, he produced that.
Yeah, he's in it, I think, as well.
So it's about his life as a celebrity, or is it?
No, you got no fucking idea. It's it's a kid.
Well, you can't remember the movie.
It's a teenager. Like it's a kid who's like 15 years old.
Yeah.
Who basically like fucking hustles, and he's a pap. He's like elbowing the fuck out of people getting photos.
Yeah.
And he's able to use that where it's like, oh, Brittany. And she's like, this is cute. So he gets a good shot. But he's got like a fucking 1D or whatever. You know, this is a few years old. The 1DX wasn't around then. But it's just like, like taking a fuck ton of photos. It's just like there is something exciting about it.
A good hustle from that young kid. There's the Australian guy. I think he's gone to shit now. Darren Lyons.
Oh, isn't he the Geelong Lord Mayor now?
Yeah, yeah. And so, but he was a huge, he was a paparazzi. And
wasn't just a paparazzo. He was actually, he had like a photo agency or whatever, yeah, which would sell them. But he also had fake abs and was on Celebrity Big Brother.
And whack hair.
Yeah, whack
just
hair.
Like different colors. Just this really flamboyant dude. I couldn't really quite understand him. No. But he that's marketing, right? Like, that's all his brand. He wants people to talk about the fake abs. He wants people to talk about the hair, and he's in that murky world. It's almost, it is so Hollywood. Like, you see paparazzis everywhere in
yeah.
LA.
Yeah,
I saw Jessica Alba being paparazzi. So I went up and took photos of the paparazzis taking photos.
Did you, if you had a small budget to spend on plastic surgery, what would you, no, seriously, where it's like, mate, you got to make a decision on this. Okay. What do you want to get done?
Plastic surgery. It can't just be some cosmetic.
Oh, yeah, procedure. No cosmetics. No, let's go cosmetic.
If I had the money, I'd just do my teeth. Like, they're fine, but I'd just do them again. I've had my bottom ones done.
Get like veneers and shit.
I'd get my top ones done. You could just get them a
Wait,
bit more
Wait, you got
straight.
The bottom... What did you get done with the bottom
yeah,
ones?
Yeah, they were just a bit wonky. And then I had like back braces, so you can't even see them.
Ah,
the
sure.
back of your...
I mean, that's low-level shit, right?
Yeah,
that's
but what are you going to do?
I'd probably de-scalp my hair. I don't know.
Hair plugs.
No, I don't know. What the fuck would I do?
You don't want to do anything.
I really am just pretty happy. Like, I feel like any improvements is going to fucking point at whatever else is wrong with me. You know what I mean? It's like, as soon as I get lipo, they'll be like, fuck, his face is weird.
We're going to get to some feedback from BMAC.
So we've got...
Hang on, what did he sign it off with? Shades. Yeah, Shades. That's my homeboy from Shepparton.
And my homeboy now too.
Yeah, but, well, he now lives in Melbourne, so he's your Melbourne homeboy.
But we have sorted out our email, so yeah. We're a lot more official now. We've got our own. I was basically getting all the emails and then just being a real lazy fuck with getting back to people. We're still getting...
So now what Josh is saying is he's palming off the responsibility. So if you don't...
It's a shared responsibility yeah. now. And we now have on your phone, for instance, you will get a notification and be told when there's new email, which is True. Exciting. So you've received an email. We've received an email at hi@thedailytalkshow.com.
Yeah, but what I was saying is this is going to lead us out. We've still got a few minutes.
Okay.
So we'll get to that at the end.
Okay, no, that's a good tease.
I was on the way here and I was thinking...
Well, that was seamless. Go on.
Yeah. It's classic
Mate,
transition.
Did you literally... You're like, fuck, I need to think of some content because all of your stories are based on your way here.
Yeah, but...
By the way, it's like 10:30 at night. I've been fucking dealing with this fucked edit trying to get shit done and shit's exporting at the moment. So we've got time up our sleeve and I would like to do a little appreciation piece to Tommy is very busy and I've been busy and Tommy has made the compromise and come all the way to Abbotsford from St Kilda. So I appreciate
Fuck
that.
Fuck off, cunt. Good timing.
Good timing.
So... No, this was. I had this thought past the...
Were you on Punt Road?
Yeah, I'd just gone past the guy that I almost picked up.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, fuck, I felt quite good. Like, it's late and I should be tired. And I was like, nah, this is like what the hustle's about. This is like, you know, you got to put in the effort. Like, it's like almost energizing thinking about how much hard work you're putting in for something, right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, that's like what... That whole thing of Gary Vee and the motivational business people are selling, that motivation, like it's a thing to tell people you're working hard.
Yeah.
But my thought around it was the other side of that is me being tired tomorrow and feeling fucking depressed.
Yeah.
And so there'll be a bunch of people that don't function well without sleep and be putting in 17-hour days like Gary Vee and waking up the next day so depressed.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know what, like I've been listening, that book Essentialism, you need to listen to it from fucking start to finish.
Yeah.
Because it has changed, it is the exact thing that I needed to hear, but it's this thing
start
of
to
like...
Start to finish, was I going to listen to it another way from start to finish?
What do you mean?
You said listen to it from start to finish.
Well, I feel like you're listening 2 minutes, like, oh, yeah, I know the book.
I
understand the book. Yeah, I read it. Well, how much did you listen to?
Fuck off.
I literally, it's just about priorities and just being, you know, like it's that cliche of being able to say no, but it's really protecting your time and protecting the things that are important to us. So like at the end of the day, like if family time is important for you, it's just like you just make it a non-negotiable and you fucking don't. Like I am so quick. My default is if someone asks, I want to go for least resistance. So I'll be like, yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll make it work. And what I've been experiencing of late is throughout this whole saying yes more, what happens is my agenda is filled up by other people's shit. Whereas, yeah. And the thing is that people don't fucking respect you if you're always just going to say yes and be available. There's something to be said with, like, I think that it's an insecurity in ourselves where it's like, I feel like I'm not enough to the point where it's like, or that I'm such a people pleaser that I always need to be available or I always need to, you know. And for me, and this goes back to one of our previous episodes talking about niching and all that sort of thing. I think it was yesterday, is the essentialism. I mean, we've got Brie fucking talking in the next room. Sorry about that. the thing about essentialism and what they were talking about is it is identifying when you are not the right fit for something. Mm. And sometimes I'm good with it. And so the prime example is doing client work. And so what I am going to do over the coming months is really being dialed into what I do best. And anything outside of that, I just won't do.
Mm.
Because I think that like at the beginning, you have to, you fucking hustle and you say yes to everything. It's like, go, go, go. The more you do, the better. It's all about volume. It's and like
time,
now
hours,
I'm like,
put them in.
Yeah, I'm literally like, oh, if you, if someone sends me something and it's like not the right fit, I'm just going to say, no, I'm not really the right fit.
I think it serves a purpose though, making these mistakes. I know for me, learning is like I will learn very quick if I start working and getting to work and then thinking about how I'm going with it all versus, yeah. So, I mean, that just works for me. But it's like you having this realization after shit going on for you and reading a book that has a message that connects to this stuff. And so it's like I hear success stories of everything everyone's had, and we talked about the crucible moment.
Yeah.
It's like something full on happens that jolts you into a new thinking.
Yeah. And it's also that stretching which allows you to realize, because I'm like, is this the path? Is saying yes and like, because this, it's a volume game, so there's only just going to be more of this.
Mm.
And I, so it's about like cherry picking your life and prioritizing, and just like I think it's even comes down to things like email. I'm just fucking over at the moment this expectation. Like I've just set this ridiculous expectation around email where it's like at the moment when I'm on a shoot, if I don't email back within like 4 hours, people will be like, hey, like I'll get a call, or they'll be like, oh, did you get that? And it's just like I want to completely restructure things. And I think part of the problem with the businesses that we're in is stuff with revisions and things like that. But I think we almost need to take that off email. Like I know Dr. Jason Fox, who I know and who I'm doing a video with later in the month.
What's he do?
He's a organizational psychologist is probably. I don't know if that's like the right phrasing. I've got one of his books here. He's sort of he's when you see him at an event or something, he stands out. How to Lead a Quest is one of the books that he's done most recently. Unlock New Progress Through Doubt and Uncertainty. So he's all about like fucking speaking to the big companies of the world, the McDonald's and shit like that, and being like, this is how when everything's fucking changing, how you deal with it. This is nice. He signed it and shit for me. But anyway, he... what the fuck was I talking about?
Don't know.
This is fake. This is why I don't
know,
I
mate.
Don't, this
don't,
is why I
don't
have a fucking
go to
prop.
Grab fucking shit off the bookshelf.
What was the... No, that's going to annoy the shit out of me. We need to bring it around.
Yeah, we either need someone...
Oh, emails, emails, emails.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
He has a an autoresponder.
A rule.
It feels like we fucking talk autoresponders every episode.
You talk autoresponders every
episode.
But he has
an autoresponder which says, like, basically, hey, I'm going to be slow as fuck with this email.
Yeah. Well, that's allowing... You form the expectation, and the expectation is I'm slow as fuck.
Yeah.
So anything above that is a win.
Exactly. And the other thing too that I'm finding too, the more I say, how about this? I got a potential job. I was filming all of yesterday. I didn't have time to do anything from my phone, email, anything like this. I had an email and a phone call from someone saying, hey, Josh, got your details from so-and-so. We have this filming for Thursday that we want to do. Get back to us ASAP if there's something you can do, put together a quote. Anyway, I didn't have time to get back to it yesterday. Anyway, this morning at like 8 a.m., I got a call and I answered it. Hello, this is Josh. And she said, oh, hey, I left a voicemail and email, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, so sorry about that. Just been on a project. She said, oh, yeah, we had something for tomorrow, for Thursday, that we want filmed. I said, I'm actually heading overseas on Thursday and I'll be away, but I'll be back next week. Doesn't sound like it's going to work for your timeline, but... Either way, feel free to send me an email if there is other future work, and I'd be happy to look at it then. But I wouldn't be able to do this one. And she sent me an email basically saying, I actually haven't looked at it, but Bree said to me, she's like, oh, that was nice that they've said that they're going to change the date so they can make it work. And it's like, this is the thing. I would have, like, if I wanted to, the hustle in me would have been like, oh, fuck, even if you're going away, try and get it done.
It was my business. Like, I had a lot of those learnings early days when I had my personal training business.
Yeah.
Because it's all based around how many sessions can you fit into one day?
Uh-huh.
And I've got, 10, 15 clients that are doing a few sessions a week. Some three, and you're needing to juggle shit.
Yeah.
And I just got to a point.
Batch them? Do you batch them?
Yeah, I batch them. Yeah. But I just gave them, this is all I got.
Yeah. Exactly.
And people fit into it.
Yeah.
And it's not because.
It's not being an asshole.
An asshole, a bossy. No. It's like, no, this is just what works. And people know that that's just what works, and it's just back and forth. It's good. It's a good mindset to be in to. Because if you're running out of fear going, I need the work, I need this, it's like. You'll become a slave to the dollar or a slave to the job, and you'll be fitting everyone else's schedule, and it's fraught with fucking danger of unhappiness.
I think that the thing, and I'm noticing as I'm saying things, I'm like, oh, fuck, I've spoken about this previously. I think what we're hearing from me is this journey of someone who was a massive people pleaser. I think for me, I know in a previous episode we spoke about people picking your brain, and I was always, I really prided myself on like, oh man, this person wants to hear from me and they want to be mentored by me and I'm going to give them my time. And I think that has come from an insecurity of feeling like I'm not enough or that I owe people something or it's like I need to prove to them or that I need to be giving every single person value.
It feels good though. I mean, it's a connection. That's where you're getting something out of it.
Yeah.
The exchange is not one way. You're actually being rewarded for being offering up this information. It's like...
But the thing is that I listened to a podcast that Tim Ferriss did a while ago that was all on codependency, which I was like, I discovered, I'm like, fuck, I've had so many codependent situations or relationships where it's like I have realized after the fact that I've been expecting something of like, I'll go out of my way to do all of this stuff. Like perfect codependent example is right. Like I'll be doing these things for you all the time. Say it's like, oh, every single day I go to you and I walk to you and I get a coffee and all that sort of thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm doing this thing. And then all of a sudden something happened and I need you to be flexible, and then you're like, oh, nah, man, I can't do it. And then I'm like, are you serious? I've just spent like the last 6 months coming to you.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, hang on. No, that's like, that's an internal thing that you've created. This is your own codependency. And that's a big thing with codependent people, is it's like you give, but then you you get really disappointed when it's not met with the sort of gratitude or the response that you were hoping for.
Yeah, or even the same level of giving on their
exactly. And side. You just can't. And so for me, my expectations are so low. And I think that a lot of my friendships have flourished when I'm like, actually, you know, like you'll have a friend who's a shocker at fucking writing back to texts.
Mm.
And I've got like, I've had a bunch of them in my life. And then I realize I'm like, oh, I am that person for other people, where it's just like, where I'm just, they always get me on the wrong moment or whatever it is. And it's just like, mm. I look it up and do the equation. I'm like, actually, I am probably perceived as being pretty fucking unreliable. And so I try and give people more slack, expect less from people. And then as well as that, rein in my things like availability. And the hard balance is that some of the feedback that I get from people, friends, is, man, I fucking love that, like, I'll just call you on a Saturday morning and be like, man, what are you up to? And you'll be like, oh, nothing. And we go out and we hang out all day, or we go get coffee. And it's just like, it's almost this thing of like, I just fucking love that you're always available. And yeah, it like feeds the beast. But I don't think it's a, nah. I don't think that's a way to live. Anyway.
Shades feedback.
Yeah.
My homeboy.
My homeboy as well.
This has come through to hi@thedailytalkshow.com. Any feedback, just some love.
Yep.
Anything
would be appreciated.
Yeah, what have you sent through, except viruses?
Yeah, no, don't.
Oh, quick one. There's been a virus getting around recently. Amy got one to her work. Not a virus, I say, you'll get it. Craig got one as well. Hi, sir. Basically saying, we have footage of you wanking, send money here or release the footage.
That's amazing. How much did Craig give?
He said to me, mate, release it, because I don't have a camera on my computer, so it'd be kind of a bit weird. Anyway, Shades, this is not a ransom email.
No.
This is...
He would have a few of your wanking videos. Go on.
The title being, first time emailer, long time listener.
I like that. That's classic. Is that a Shebang reference? I remember on the Shebang, the radio show, they would always say that years ago. No,
I didn't listen to the Shebang.
First time listener, long time caller. No.
Yeah, long time. First time caller, long time listener. So he's adapted it from the dinosaur days of radio.
Tommy needs at least one dig at radio episode. Got it out. Good one.
Hey guys, first time emailer, long time listener. In episode 39, you mentioned the hustle of the guy selling Coca-Cola cans at high school. Do I have a story for you? He's referring to Hugh from my school, Wesley College.
Yeah.
So me and my actual, no, just my friend, one in particular, let's call him James. James discovered there was a spare locker next to his at our high school during his entire year 12 period. James was also a fan of what some may call the devil's lettuce. And a lot of people...
What is the devil's lettuce?
I think it's weed. And because that's why he's using a fake name. And a lot of people knew this around the schoolyard. Okay. If there was a guy, he was that guy. I'm not sure if you remember the extra chewy bottles, but if you measure it up, it's a pretty perfect size to drop what a rapper Snoop Dogg calls a little bit of sticky hickey inside it.
It's like a bong. Is that what he's making?
Yeah, I'm not too sure.
I feel like it's an extra bottle. Like it's a... Yeah, go on.
Dropping names, as Josh doesn't seem to know any popular musicians on earth who ever existed. It would also conceal the smell. Shades works for like a record label, so he's...
Well, Snoop Dogg, I know that he went on Martha Stewart's show.
Okay, interesting reference to... you see where you come into contact with rappers. It's on a fucking Martha Stewart show. All right. You may know where this story is going, so I'll keep it short and sweet. A transfer of cash between James and his, let's call them, medically enthused clientele came via a handshake, whilst at the same time James smoothly dropped a locker key into friend's pocket or hand. Smooth. The buyer would then go to the locker, open up the extra chewy bottle, and pick up the green nugget of sacred holiness.
Oh, so he was literally just using the extra thing as a storage device rather than a bong.
Yeah, we did go to a Catholic school, in brackets. The buyer would then give James the key back and be on their merry way. James is in jail now. I'm kidding, he says. Point of the story, the hustle was real in high school. He made a shitload of cash, and entrepreneurs start from day dot. Remember when entrepreneurship wasn't considered cool? Story for another time, though. And that Coca-Cola story you mentioned brought me back to the time when I was in high school. I'm not James, though. I swear I'm not James. But, farewell.
But he's the guy getting the key.
He's the snitch. No, you're not. I love you.
Thanks, Shades.
I like that.
Mate,
I mean, that's Shep life. You grow up in Shepparton, and that's what's happened.
I mean, you don't do drugs, but I feel like you're very street smart. You have a sense of these things. How much does marijuana cost? And then, like, how do they make profit? Like, do they just mark it up significantly? Like, who does the marking up?
I was talking to my mate the other day, and we're talking about, like, drug dealers have a really clear profit margin. They buy it for one price and they sell it for another, and there's their profit in between. And we were laughing because it's like the fucking profit margins in your business after you take out marketing, advertising, fees. It's like, it's so diluted and unclear, whereas drug dealers buy 1,000 pills for $20,000 and sell them for $30 a pill, so they make $10,000 because they get 30. So it's like really clear.
So they're buying volume. They have to buy volume.
That's like,
and then they sell a smaller amount. How many levels do you think you're in? Like marijuana, for instance. Probably less levels than, say, a pill or something like that, because I guess...
Less levels meaning what?
Less hands that it's going through. Like, a pill has, like, a manufacturing process where it's getting pressed and it's getting all mixed and shit like that.
The drugs, and that's why people are worried about... No one knows where they fucking come from unless you know the person making them.
Yeah.
And so there's levels of drugs that are... less dangerous.
How do you know? How do people? I mean, not that you do. To be clear, you don't do drugs. But being in all of these scenes and shit, you see these things, and being the fucking inquisitive type, you're the type to find out this sort of information. How do people find out whether drugs are good quality or not? For cocaine, what is the quality? In cocaine, what are people looking for?
The smell and the look.
Okay.
Well, it's like the closest.
And then pills? Like, do their logos mean something?
Yeah, but then it's like, there used to be a site when I was going out to nightclubs when I was younger, and it was called, it was like a pill review site. These are still around, right? So you can actually jump on and see what pills are circulating and what the review says about them.
Oh, interesting.
But then I remember there was like these certain type of pill going around when I was probably 19, green Mitsubishis. For any party goers out there, they're probably thinking, fuck yeah!
What was that like?
I don't know. They were just really strong pills. I didn't take pills. And it's like they literally had pieces of glass in them. I saw them. I saw bits of glass inside the pill.
And what is that meant to do? What's that meant to do?
No, it was like fucking dodgy.
Yeah.
It was like so there was like the good ones, and then so like the ones that legitimately worked, but then there was these other ones that were going around. So some bogan in his shed is probably putting together the ones that look the same and
just crushing up a bit of glass.
Legit glass. I mean, that's why you go, don't fuck around with that shit.
No, absolutely. We're getting the wrap up.
Did we get a wrap up?
We're being Sam Cavs. Getting the wrap up. It's the Daily Talk Show, everyone. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe on the iTunes app and actually, you know, stop for a second. Stop. And if you are enjoying this podcast, review us. on iTunes or in the podcast app. If you do it, please let us know. And, you know, if it's just a rating or a review, and everything helps.
Yeah, it does.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
I really stopped when you said stop. I even stopped.
Well, I was trying to really build... I wanted to break that cycle of people just sort of... Anyway.
You did. Great one.
Bye. Bye-bye. Oh, sorry. I thought I'm still recording. Stop. Where's my mouse gone? Hang on. Oh.
Fuck off!
Oh, it's still not going.